Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. When you hear OAR, it means time to talk to our friend, Mr. Eric Nathan, Barstool Nate, Little Nate X, whatever you want to call him. He always drives B. Mitch crazy. What up, Nate Dog? How you doing?
You can call me the official Commanders playoff predictor from June. We are here. We are 12-5. We're going to the playoffs. We're in the playoffs. Everything is good up here in New York City. How are you guys?
Good, brother. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. Could not be better.
So, seriously, how much – outside of your prognosticating, which this year you completely nailed, buddy. Prognosticating,
yeah, I'm about to say.
How much have you enjoyed this season? Just as a fan that it matters to.
Look, I think this season, I'm 36 years old. I'm an old man. I'm half of B. Mitch's age. That's an old man. And I would say
still this uglier.
Has to be a top two season. It's this season and 2012. Are the top two most fun I've had watching football. This is a special one because it is in the post-Snyder era, and it's showing that we were all very, very correct, that it all began and ended with that buffoon, and that we were never going to be a successful team as long as he was running them. The second he's gone, we get this whole – you know, how many times did we hear about culture under him, but we knew that he was the culture and he was the problem? We finally are rid of him, new ownership, new front office, new coaching, and then Jaden comes in, and Jaden is just so good at football, and not just that. He's a leader already as a rookie, and he loves the community. He loves the team. He loves Washington. Everything, it's like when a puzzle comes together perfectly, and every piece just fits. That's how I feel about this football team right now. The fan base, the team, the front office, the coaching staff, everybody is just interlocked, intertwined. Everybody's on the same page. It really is like a fairy tale. This is us. This isn't the Chiefs. This isn't the Patriots. This is us. This is Washington, D.C. It could not be better.
Well said right there, man. Let's run through three things from Dallas that were – so B. Mitch and I have kind of a working theory that they knew they were pulling Jaden. They just oddly don't want us to know that they knew they were doing that. What is your level of concern about Jaden's alleged mild leg soreness and coming out?
0.0%. I have not lost a wink of sleep over it. This is a man, Jaden Daniels, who I believe he broke 14 different ribs over the course of the season, and he's still out there winning football games. He's still out there going to be Offensive Rookie of the Year. He's still leading this team to 12 wins in the playoffs. I'm not worried whatsoever about a little leg soreness. This is a true professional through and through. He'll get a Theragun. He'll zap it. He'll massage it. He'll be good to go. 0.0% worried.
I agree. Let's move on to a player that has really been important, particularly for the run game. Tyler Biadasz did not play Sunday in Dallas. They couldn't run the ball to save their lives. Not only the top rusher, the top two rushers for Washington and Dallas were quarterbacks. It was Mariota and then Jaden.
Can I say something? I don't want to be controversial, but B-Rob might not be the guy. I don't want to step out of line here. I don't want to say something I'm going to regret, but he has not looked great whatsoever, and I know the offensive line is not getting any push whatsoever, and you can't put it all on the running back, but I would like to see McNichols and Chris Rodriguez Jr. get a little more run when Brian Robinson just doesn't have the juice. I don't want to sell him short or anything. I really like him. He was so good in the first half of the season. I don't know what happened. I largely do believe there is some – you know, it's not groundbreaking to say the offensive line is doing literally nothing for the run game. They could not be doing less in a lot of ways. But if it's not going to work for B-Rob, we have to fill someone else into that slot and see if they can make something happen. I understand that you have to be loyal to your guy, dance with who brought you. Brian Robinson, I love you. I think you're great. But if you're not doing it, you know, it's next man up. It's the NFL. And we can't, you know, continue to give B-Rob a bunch of chances if he's not going to produce. And, you know, this is playoff time. So if he's running into the back of his guard, you know, let's bring Chris in there and see what he can do.
I don't think anybody doing it as a running back, to be honest with you. So it all starts with the offensive line. So I think it's wrong if you're going to say it's about a B-Rob, because ain't nobody getting no yards but quarterbacks.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not trying to, like, sell him short or, like, give him the blame, because clearly we all have eyes, and this offensive line is just getting dominated in the trenches. And same with the defensive line. If we want to talk about getting dominated, geez Louise, we have a 4'6" running back on the Cowboys running all over our defensive line. So both lines are just getting punished down in the trenches where it matters. But, you know, if you're the starting running back, you're going to take more blame than a backup running back. And if the starting running back's not doing it, you have to look to see who's next.
Yeah, the Brian Robinson stuff is interesting, but the run game really hasn't been effective. I mean, the last time they really ran the ball well was against the Titans before the bye. And that, you know, that Titans team just fired their GM and seemed like a pretty big mess. Biadasz, if you look at the numbers, Biadasz missed the New Orleans game coming out of the bye, and then he missed this Cowboys game. They ran the ball okay against New Orleans. They really didn't run the ball well against Dallas, but it's not perhaps it's overly simple to say, like, they ran it well, they didn't run it well. When you have a quarterback like Jaden able to make plays, that changes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm past the point of, like, being concerned about that. Like, he's really good at it. Why would you possibly stop and want that to calm down? But specifically B-Rob in that Saints game, he obviously did enough that they were cool with it, but that was the first one where there really was a lack of burst. He was 21 for 65 in that game. I think, to Brian's point, though, it's overly – like, whenever you try to – remember last year we were talking about the sacks for Sam Howell, and was it his fault? Was it the line's fault? Was it the play calling's fault? Mm-hmm. Like, there's a totality to these things that when we try to be overly simplistic in our conversation about them – probably doesn't do it justice, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's a totality to all of this that I think makes an impact. And ideally, you get B-Rob going in Tampa. Tampa's been pretty good where you can beat Tampa, those through the air.
Yeah.
So if that's got to be the plan, let Jaden be Jaden.
Yeah, but you got to be able to run the ball. I think if you run it well, then you can do some stuff that can mess with the linebackers in the secondary. If you're not running and you're just dropping back and they pin their ears, you got problems.
Yeah.
And to your point about beating the Bucs through the air, Brian Robinson's best receiving game was week one against the Buccaneers, where he had three catches for 49 yards. He had one other game all season where he went over 20 yards, and that was the Saints game when he had three catches for 22. If Eckler is back and healthy, you know, let's just start getting him some touches out of the backfield, start getting some screens to him, some swing passes to him. Let's get everybody in the mix that we can who can catch the ball against the Bucs. They are probably going to be without a bunch of pieces on their defense, especially Antoine Winfield Jr., who I think they already said probably is not going to go on Sunday night. And, you know, that's a big loss for them. So, you know, let's do exactly what you just said. Let Jaden be Jaden, use his legs, but use his arm and try to pick apart that Tampa Bay defense.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the numbers here, dude, the Bucs defensively ranked fourth in the NFL in rush yards allowed versus 29th in the NFL in pass yards allowed. Mm. Now, and Brian, that doesn't mean you go fully one-dimensional.
No.
But Vita Vea in the middle is a serious problem. I mean, that guy's just unbelievable size-wise. And I think I'm not expecting a ton of success running the football, but Jaden is such a difference maker that could change. Nate Dogg, the other injury concern for me is, you know, I guess you'd really like to get Cornelius Lucas back in this thing too. There's been some injury issues at that right tackle spot, but I think perhaps the top of the list, because I think Jaden's stuff is kind of nonsense. Biadasz's stuff is a real issue, but I think they rested him last week to get him back for this week. And Marshawn Lattimore can be such a difference maker, and I don't know what to expect there.
Yeah, I'm doing the thing, I don't know if we want to call it coping, I don't know what we want to call it, that the Lattimore trade was not for this season, that it was for the next two seasons. And if he's not ready to go, I'm just going to, you know, bang that drum until the cows come home. Because, you know, the difference between Marshawn Lattimore and Michael Davis is the difference between Shakespeare and me. You know, you can't really just, like, plug in Michael Davis and have him spell Marshawn Lattimore. And if Lattimore can't go, you know, Mike Evans is an absolute monster at wide receiver. And Baker just threw for 4,500 yards and 40-whatever touchdowns. You know, they have weapons left and right. They have a great running game as well over in Tampa. They are a good offensive team. And having Lattimore, especially with his whole feud and beef with Mike Evans, would be a ginormous upgrade if he's healthy. If he's not healthy, we're just, you know, gripping our chairs and hoping that that we can just do that bend not break defense that we've grown so accustomed to. But yeah, coming into the season, I'll say this. Coming into the season, we didn't expect 12-5. Nope. We didn't expect playoffs. We knew that the secondary was an extremely weak point. So out of all of that, we're in the playoffs. We went 12-5, and the secondary is still bad. So you take what you can get. You know, you win some, you lose some. We're going to upgrade the secondary in the offseason. We know that. We're going to upgrade the offensive line in the offseason. We know that. And we're going to get a new wide receiver in the offseason. We know that. So being 12-5 with the holes we have on this roster, I can't complain or you know, get upset that Lattimore doesn't play. Because look where we are. We're in the playoffs in year one of the rebuild.
Yep.
And there's a lot of teams out there with a lot of injuries, so I can't sit here and be like, well, our guy was injured. That it happens in the NFL. It happens in football. You know, I think the Bucs are a beatable team. I think this Sunday night game is a winnable game for this Commanders team. We have seen Jaden do so much on his own all season. And I actually tweeted it sometime yesterday, that I'm not positive people fully understand just how ragtag this Commanders roster truly is. And I say that in kind of like a nice way, an endearing way, that these guys have banded together despite not being the strongest roster, mm-hmm. and have put together this amazing season for the fans and for themselves and for the NFL that nobody saw coming. And when we get upgrades at all these positions that really, truly have non-starters starting at them, we're going to be such a better team overall. But for right now, we can just appreciate what we have and just really just sit back and say, hey, we're playing a playoff game in primetime on Sunday night with Jaden Daniels under center. This is a winnable game despite everything.
So I may be wrong, and you guys may disagree with me. I totally agree, because B said this earlier, and you'd have to be a moron not to understand it. 12 wins this year. You found a quarterback of the future. Yeah, you found a quarterback of right now. You found a quarterback. The coach seems to get it. The front office has been completely excellent. Like, there is so much to be happy about.
Mm-hmm.
I completely – the RFK seems like it's a go. Like, everything is coming up aces right now. I agree with all that. But for me, this week, going into the wild card round in Tampa, I am certainly focused on how you beat the Bucs. Like, I think next week – or the following week, or after the Super Bowl, whenever the hell the season comes to an end, we talk about, oh, my God, what an incredible ride. But for me right now, it is, yo, the secondary's bad. Maybe De'Ami Brown can get vertical. I don't know. Like, that's where my mind is. Are you guys in the same spot?
Yeah, my mind is there. My mind is there. But I think the whole thing about it, though, if our mind is there, there's no need to go back and harp on why things went wrong. Let's harp on how we got to beat them then. Because if we keep going back to all the things that were so bad, we're not necessarily thinking about what's going to happen in the future. So my mindset is, how do we beat them this week? I don't care that Jaden wasn't in the game last week. I don't care that Biotis didn't play. They're going to be in the game this week, and that's all I care about. So let's move in that direction, and that will really follow up everything you just said. You know, if we discuss how to beat, and not look at and nitpick every little negative thing, then we're looking forward. That, we're looking backwards.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. But I guess what I was trying to say is I don't think, you know, Lattimore not playing and Michael Davis playing ahead of him is an excuse, because every team has injuries out there. Every team doesn't have maybe the roster that they thought they would have. But that's why I finished every sentence with, this game is winnable. Like, we can beat the Bucks. We played them week one. I didn't find them that impressive. The Bucks went on a four-game losing streak in the middle of the season. They definitely found their ground and became a pretty good team, and Baker a pretty good quarterback. You know, as the season went on, they finished extremely strong. I think they won, what, like 7 out of 8? And their one loss was to the Cowboys in Dallas that we also lost to. So, yeah, I don't think that the Bucks are at their strongest. Obviously, we aren't at our absolute strongest, but this whole season we haven't been. This whole season we've played with this roster and have won 12 games. So to think that this team can't go into Tampa and win is crazy. Of course this team can go into Tampa and win. They've been winning games with this roster all year.
Yo, I totally agree. And I guess specific to the Lattimore trade, if – the hamstring stuff continues to plague him. Let's say he can't play this week, and then he ends up playing two games since the trade for Washington. To me, that's a long-term play, and if he could be himself next year, and all of a sudden, the way I look at next year, if you add Lattimore to this group, and you basically do it for a third-round pick, and then all of a sudden he's a true CB1 for you, I think, to me, they've had some good edge players this year, but the contract status of the veterans, I think if you can add Lattimore, and then whether it's the draft or free agency, you add like a real difference-making edge rusher. Like the guy Grenard, the Vikings guy, that wasn't like an outrageous contract. They just identified somebody that would fit really well in their scheme and be really good. Similar to what Fowler has been, but Grenard's just been much better. Like if you can get a corner and an edge, everything changes. And that's kind of where my mind is going forward. I mean,
that's next year, Jay. We got a game by 4 or 5 days.
Hey, but real quick,
you were talking about the Lattimore trade.
Real quick, Dante Fowler exceeded all expectations. 10.5 sacks, just absolute disruptor on defense. I, you know, at 30 years old, and he's coming over, and you know, he was that number 3 overall pick to Jacksonville. We weren't really sure what we were getting. And I feel like, you know, he's been a fan favorite, but maybe not a ton of national attention. But I think he's just been excellent. Just like really, really just impressive. You know, making disruptions almost on every play. Mm-hmm. And not to beat this dead horse either, another thing I was right about. He replaced Montez Sweat, who did absolutely nothing in Chicago, for that huge contract that they gave him. So I think we won that fair and square, getting rid of Montez Sweat, not having to pay him, and bringing in Fowler. Just a job well done by the front office.
Nate, one of my favorite parts about you is you never miss a chance to pat your own back and take a victory lap.
He's kind of like Floyd Mayweather with his bets.
Right. You only see the ones that hit.
Yeah.
Well, I hit at like a 90% rate, so there's a lot to pat myself on the back about.
I think you're crazy as hell, Nate.
Very little.
You have had a very good year for Nate Dogg picks. I'll say that.
Thank you.
Hey, so I went to bed. I honestly don't even know. I saw the Protus goal that tied it up. What happened with the Caps?
Loss.
Lost.
They lost, JP. They lost the hockey game in a shootout. This team can't win shootouts to save their lives, but that's all right. The Caps, I mean, we'll say it forever. The team's now 26-10-4, first place in the entire Eastern Conference. There's nothing to be worried about with these guys. Ginormous goal differential. You know, two good goalies. I think Logan Thompson has separated himself as the better goalie, with Lindgren being a very, very, very good backup. We'll see if they continue to split time evenly or if Thompson will start getting a few more starts. But, you know, there's nothing to worry about with the Caps. They're still tinkering with the lines a little bit, just trying to see exactly what they want to do for the second half of the season. But, you know, first in the Metro, we're perfectly fine. You can lose you don't want to lose a game up in Buffalo. Buffalo is not a very good team, but, you know, it happens. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it.
Nate Dogg's not losing sleep. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate the time.
Hey, I'll talk to you after a playoff win. How about that?
Yeah, I'm with that.
I like it. I like it. I like it. Let's run through this injury report when we return. It's B. Mitchell Finley.